This is the greatest advancement toward peace between Israel and the Arab world in the last 26 years, and it marks the third formal peace between Israel and an Arab nation.
The diplomatic rapprochement announced between Israel and the United Arab Emirates last week is not, in and of itself, quite as big a deal as its orchestrators wish to claim. The two countries have never been to war with each other. The UAE's official hostility to Israel, such as it was, usually sounded pretty phoned in, done for form's sake. When other Arab governments let fly with the fire-breathing choruses of condemnation in Israel's direction, the UAE were generally very much in the back row of the choir, mumbling vaguely along, hoping not to be noticed. Israel and the UAE have actually long dealt pretty easily with each other. Israeli ministers have made official visits to the Emirates. There are plentiful commercial ties between the countries. Israel had already been invited to exhibit at Expo 2020 in Dubai. The intelligence services of Israel and the UAE have also long cooperated. The first official Israeli visitor to the UAE after the deal was announced was Yossi Cohen, director of Mossad.
This is a truly historic moment, not since the Israel-Jordan peace treaty was signed more than 25 years ago has so much progress been made towards peace in the Middle East. By uniting two of America's closest and most capable partners in the region, something which said could not be done, this deal is a significant step towards building a more peaceful, secure, and prosperous Middle East.
US President Donald Trump is claiming great credit for brokering this agreement, but suggestions by his proxies and flunkies that this is somehow worthy of the Nobel Peace Prize he frantically desires are somewhat optimistic. Granted that President Trump's predecessor, Barack Obama, was just given one as a sort of housewarming present, but an exchange of ambassadors between Israel and the UAE is just not a seismic recalibration comparable with the peace reached between Egypt and Israel in 1978 or Israel and Jordan in 1994.
I say to the people of Israel and Jordan, now you must make this peace real. To turn no man's land into every man's home, to take down the barbed wire, to remove the deadly mines, to help the wounds of war to heal.
However, while the normalization of Israeli-Emirati relations may not be a big deal, it may portend things which are. Indeed, it's the fact that it isn't a big deal which may be the really big deal here. Israel's only two previous such agreements with Arab countries, as referenced above, were with Egypt and Jordan, neighbours against whom they'd fought wars. They were extraordinary responses to extraordinary circumstances. The agreement with the UAE founds a diplomatic relationship which seems no more or less remarkable than, say, a diplomatic relationship between Denmark and Malaysia, or Senegal and Peru. It could have a domino effect. There are already suggestions that some other Arab states, including Oman, Kuwait, Bahrain, and Morocco, are coming around to the UAE's way of thinking where Israel is concerned. And from there, what else might be possible? Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has already spoken of his hope that the direct flights which will shortly link Israel and the UAE could be allowed to cross the skies above Saudi Arabia. The prospect of an Israeli embassy in Riyadh might not seem exactly likely just yet, but nor does it seem any longer like a completely demented fantasy.
First of all, in our opinion, this action is incorrect, wrong, and 100% condemned, and it is a betrayal of the Palestinian people and the will of Muslims and the will of Quds.
There are two significant shifts underpinning this realignment. One is that in recent years, Israel and the Arab states have discovered something they agree on: Iran, which all regard as some combination of nuisance, menace, and existential threat. The other is that Israel and the Arab states have discovered something that they no longer disagree on, at least all that much: Palestine, which the rest of the Arab world seems less and less keen on pretending to care about. A much ballyhooed component of the Israel-UAE deal was Israel's promise to suspend its plans to annex the West Bank, but it is difficult to believe Israel was ever entirely serious about that. Indeed, it sounds, in the light of the agreement, exactly like the kind of mad idea you float so you can make a big thing of agreeing not to do it as part of a subsequent diplomatic negotiation. News of the Israel-UAE deal was very much not greeted by widespread dancing and celebratory hooting of car horns in Gaza and Ramallah. There have been, from Palestinian sources, grim mutterings about betrayal by their fellow Arabs.
Unfortunately, nowadays, most of the Arab countries are looking after their own interests at the expense of the Palestinian cause.
The wretched reality is that it's nothing so sinister. It is simply that Palestine is increasingly regarded in Arab capitals as yesterday's cause and as a baffling, boring headache. One of the hardiest diplomatic truisms is Lord Palmerston's quip that nations have no permanent friends and no permanent enemies, just permanent interests. Right now, to the UAE and other Arab states which may follow, Israel seems a much more interesting ally than Palestine. For Monocle 24, I'm Andrew Muller.